You'll see there from your order of service that our passage for tonight's devotional is Psalm 100, a familiar psalm to many. Let's read Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Augustine, in his expositions on the book of Psalms, makes a fitting observation about this very familiar psalm. This is what he writes. The verses are few, but big with great subjects. May the seed bring forth within your hearts. The barn be prepared for the Lord's harvest. Indeed, it is a short psalm, but it is compact and dense with great subjects. My goal, however, for our devotional this evening is simple. In thinking about some of these grand appeals that this psalm makes, I have one simple goal: to show from Scripture why the steadfast love of God that the psalmist mentions in verse 5 is more than enough reason for us to give thanks to God. For us to see briefly why it is that the steadfast love of God is absolutely worth our giving praise to him forever and forever. My goal is this because of the way in which the psalm speaks about the steadfast love of the Lord. 7 times in this passage, the psalmist issues a command to his hearer. Notice what they are. First, make a joyful noise. You hear this psalm, I appeal to you, make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. The third command, come into his presence. Know, be convinced of the fact that the Lord, he is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. 6, give thanks to him. 7, bless his name. These different things the psalmist commands the hearer to do. And he gives the reason why. He tells us why he wants us to do this. He tells us why we should come into the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving. Why we should bless the name of the Lord. Why we should know that the Lord is God and that we are his people. He says in verse 5, do these things that I have said for or because the Lord is good. Do these things because his steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness is to all generations. Praise his name because he is good. Bless his name because his steadfast love endures forever. Why is it that the psalmist tells us to praise the Lord because of his steadfast love? Well, that raises the question, what is the steadfast love of the Lord? When the psalmist references this, what does he have in mind? Scripture speaks of the steadfast love of the Lord, particularly the Old Testament, over and over and over again. Over 240 times, the Old Testament speaks about this love of God, sometimes translated steadfast love, sometimes translated mercy, sometimes translated loving kindness. It's translated in a variety of ways, but over and over and over, the scriptures speak of this steadfast love of the Lord. So what is it? What does scripture teach us about this attribute, this characteristic of who God is? The word itself is the Hebrew word chesed. Kind of have to clear your throat, or it sounds like you're clearing your throat when you're trying to pronounce it. Won't make you repeat that, okay? But that's what the word is, in case you're interested in that. But more than what the word is, what's important for us is, what does it mean? What does it intend to communicate? Well, it carries with it a significant emphasis on personal relationship. This word is used throughout the Old Testament to describe both aspects of relationships between human beings, but also aspects of God's relationship with his people and with humanity. And it is, the Old Testament is overwhelmingly slanted towards emphasizing God's relationship with his people. In this way, for every time it speaks about human relationships in this way, it speaks about God's relationship with his people three other times. So this is a word that is used over and over and over to speak about how it is that God demonstrates his love for his people. But specifically, what does it tell us about the love of God for his people? Now, don't worry. This won't be exhaustive, okay? We're not going to look at all 246 instances of this word, okay? We're not going to see all of the dimensions of this word. But I want us to see a few of the features that the Old Testament speaks about concerning this steadfast love of the Lord. Because I think when we see these features together, we will see why the psalmist appeals to us. Give thanks to the Lord. Come into his presence with thanksgiving because of his steadfast love. Because his steadfast love endures forever. First observation from the scriptures about the steadfast love of God is it saves people from disaster or oppressors. The steadfast love of the Lord saves people from disaster or oppressors. Psalm 31 speaks of it in this way. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love. Because you have seen my affliction, you have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Surely the Lord deserves our praise because his steadfast love saves his people from disaster. The Lord's steadfast love saves people from God's wrath. The steadfast love of God saves people from God's wrath. The prophet Micah speaks about this. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever. Why? Because he delights in steadfast love or in mercy. The Lord's wrath is not kindled forever because of his steadfast love. The Lord deserves our praise for his steadfast love because it rescues people from his wrath. Sinners seek forgiveness on the basis of God's steadfast love. Sinners seek forgiveness on the basis of God's steadfast love. We hear this from Moses. Remember that time when the spies, Joshua and Caleb and the others, had come back from the promised land and they gave their report. Of course, Joshua and Caleb said, let's do it. Let's go in. God has given this land, this people, into our hands. And the others were like, no, they're too big. We can't do it. We're tiny. And of course, Israel sided with those who said, no, this is too much for us. And God said, my judgment will be upon you. This generation will not enter into the promised land. For 40 years, you will wander. And only once this generation passes away will that second generation then enter the promised land. And Moses prays to the Lord. When the Lord says in the midst of that, get out of my way, I'm going to wipe them out. This is what Moses pleads to the Lord. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Moses seeks the forgiveness of for Israel because of God's steadfast love, according to the greatness of your steadfast love. So the steadfast love of God saves people from disasters. It saves people from God's wrath. Sinners seek forgiveness on the basis of this steadfast love of God. More than that, it characterizes God's rule and establishes God's king. The steadfast love of the Lord characterizes God's rule and establishes God's king. We see this most clearly with King David. More than with any other king, more than with any other individual, God's steadfast love is associated with King David and his relationship with David. In 2 Samuel 7, we read about a covenant that God made with King David. God tells David that he is going to have a son, that he is going to have one who will come after him, who will reign forever and forever. And in making this promise to David that one from his line will sit on the throne forever, the Lord speaks this way about the promised one. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. I will set my steadfast love upon your son, and through him he will reign forever. Doesn't that have an echo of Psalm 100? Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Move on down. Why? His steadfast love endures forever. God promises David, your son will be king over all forever. I will set my steadfast love upon him forever and forever. Who is the Lord talking about? Of course, he's talking about King Jesus, right? Listen again to those characteristics of God's steadfast love. It saves people from disaster. It saves people from God's wrath. Sinners seek forgiveness on the basis of God's steadfast love. It characterizes God's rule and establishes God's king. Is this not what God has done for us in Christ? He has saved us from his sin, from our sin, by his steadfast love through Christ. We seek his forgiveness for our sin, appealing to his steadfast love, his faithfulness in Christ. He has set his steadfast love on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will reign forever. And therefore, his steadfast love, his mercy, his loving kindness will rule forever and forever. According to God's covenant with David, the steadfast love will not depart from David's king. That is Jesus Christ. And then the prophet Isaiah does something astonishing with this steadfast love of God set upon David's king. Hear Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast love with David. This is the gospel in Isaiah. He is saying, come, you have nothing to bring, yet come, and God will make his covenant with you. The steadfast love of God that he promised to David that would be on his son forever, God now says, come, and I will set my steadfast love on you. I have made a covenant with David. I will make an eternal covenant with you if you will come, and I will set my loving kindness upon you. And so the Lord Jesus looks at his death, his laying down of his life for his sheep. He looks at his death on that night when he was betrayed. And as he institutes the Lord's Supper, as he gives the disciples the bread and the cup, how does he describe the cup? This is the blood of the covenant. What does that mean? By the laying down of his life, Christ is setting up this covenant of steadfast love that God has promised. He is bringing in this new way of relating to God so that God's love, God's steadfast love, endures forever, is set on his people forever because of the death and the resurrection of his son, the son who has established this covenant. So is it not altogether fitting that we should do what the psalmist said? That we should make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, because of the steadfast love of God to us in Christ? Should we not serve the Lord with gladness because of God's steadfast love to us in Christ? Should we not come into his presence with thanksgiving because of his steadfast love to us in Christ? Shouldn't the gospel declare to us that the Lord, he is God, and we indeed are his people, the sheep of his pasture? Should we not enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, because of his steadfast love set upon us in Christ? Should we not give thanks to him because of what he has done in Christ? Should we not bless his name because he has promised to forgive our sins, to rescue us from his wrath, to establish his son as king over all? We should come into his presence with thanksgiving because he has set his steadfast love on us in Christ. Let us not be remiss this Thanksgiving season in thanking God for all that he has abundantly provided, and yet, because of familiarity, neglect what he has done for us in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, had you not provided to us anything else, were it so that we had no clothes, were it so that we had no food, were it that we only had Christ, this would be more than enough. Father, we cannot comprehend this because you have so abundantly provided for us. But Father, we pray that you would help us this Thanksgiving to come into your presence. Father, we have the confidence to come before you because of the death of Christ. And Father, may we come before you praising you, thanking you, rejoicing in your name because of what you have done for us in Jesus. Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Father, may this be at the heart of our thanksgiving this season. In Jesus' name we pray.